we're talking about privacy and when individual rights to it may be violated. And I want you to stop for just a moment and imagine this scenario. You're lying in bed. It's early. You wake up to a knock on the door and you're wondering who it could possibly be at that hour. You open the door and find it's the Secret Service. That's what happened last year to Kyle MacDonald, a multimedia artist and adjunct professor at NYU's Interactive Telecommunications Program. The issue at hand was Kyle's art, which used computers, Apple computers, in stores in New York, and it's something the company did not take kindly to.
Is privacy looked at differently in Silicon Valley than in the rest of America?
No, Silicon Valley's not monolithic. We've always had a very different view of privacy than some of our colleagues in the Valley. We take privacy extremely seriously.
That is the late Steve Jobs, founder and CEO of Apple, speaking 2 years ago at the D8 conference in 2010. Joining us now, Kyle MacDonald, multimedia artist, adjunct professor at NYU. So first, explain to us what the project was and why you were using Apple computers in these Apple stores.
Sure. So I was really interested in this blank expression that we make when we're sitting in front of our computers, even if we're talking to friends on Facebook.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of wide open. Our eyes are glazed over. But we're normally talking with friends or working on things with other people. So, you know, if I'm talking to you right now, I'm very animated. But in front of a computer, I'm completely dead. So
despite the fact that we're doing social things,
exactly,
we're open mouthed and blank.
Totally. Okay. And yeah, and I wanted to take some pictures of this and see if it was just me. I kind of discovered this on accident by taking pictures of myself. And I wanted to take pictures of other people as well and do a photography set to explore this expression.
So why do it inside an Apple store?
I needed a public space where it was possible to take these photos. And I needed a space that also had accessible computers. And the Apple Store was like the ideal target, I guess.
Because you could get all different kinds of people.
All different kinds of people. Everyone's coming through there, really quick turnaround, you know. And no one asks any questions if you're stopping at all of the computers.
That's true. All right. So I'm really interested in this moment when you opened the door and found the Secret Service there. Describe that to me.
It was really unusual. I didn't have my glasses on yet. It was about 90-something degrees, and I was just in my shorts, and they were in full suits. I was really confused. I didn't know, you know, if there was something else that had happened that I didn't know about, or, you know, if that really the Secret Service came after me for doing an art project. I couldn't put two and two together.
And so how did they explain it to you? They started asking you questions.
Yeah, they started asking me some questions, you know. They said, you know, do you know why we're here? Which is kind of like, do you know why I pulled you over?
Right.
There's no right answer to that question.
No, officer.
Yeah. They asked me some questions, and I kind of explained what I do, the kind of work I make. I told them about the project, and they asked for what computers I had in the house and if I had my, you know, if how I did it and what else I had been doing recently. Yeah, so I gave them my computers and I said, you know, here's
you
all the
handed over your computers. Did they take them away?
Well, they did. They did. I mean, technically, it was a raid and they confiscated these machines. But
you were raided by the Secret Service because of an art project.
Yes.
Did it end up in formal charges?
No, it didn't. So in the end, what happened is they went through with their investigation, and the U.S. Attorney General's office encouraged them to kind of drop the investigation because they didn't think it had any merit, and they dropped it. And then the only thing that came out of it was Apple sending cease and desist requests for the images online and a video that was documenting the project.
Is part of that just because it's trademarked that you were actually using someone else's computer in somebody else's privately owned store to create an art project?
Perhaps. It's really hard to say. You know, the machines in the store have no terms of service that you're signing up to when you use them. Legally, I think I'm pretty much in the clear. Every lawyer I've spoken with has said, you know, you didn't legally do anything wrong. It's just that there are some kind of ambiguous ethical things that may have gone on here with taking close-up pictures of people and posting them online. Even though it's in a public store where there's no expectation of privacy, you know, people still feel a little uncomfortable. But I'm kind of glad people feel uncomfortable because it's happening all the time. And it's something we're going to have to deal with more. You know, Google is working on their glass right now. And I expect that there will be ubiquitous cameras around us regularly in the next few years. So we're going to have to ask these questions.
Internet glasses, yeah, that you're talking about. There are people walking around surfing the internet while they're walking towards the subway. But you call this, I mean, it sounds to me from some of your descriptions that you got a more sinister feeling from this. This idea that Apple was collaborating with the Secret Service and that ended up with a visit at your door.
It is a little strange. I mean, I asked them while they were there. I'm really blunt. I just kind of say what I'm thinking and I ask people what they're thinking. And I asked them, you know, did Apple just send, you know, call you up and send you over here? And they were taken aback, but they said something like that. And I said, really? Can anyone just call you up? And again, they were surprised, but they said, well, I guess so. Our phone number's in the Yellow Pages. So, which is kind of, I don't know, that's a little confusing. But yeah, I mean, the Secret Service and Apple have kind of historically have had close ties. They've been sent in to recover lost iPhone models that are pre-release, and they've been sent in for other purposes. Yeah, it's a little ambiguous what the relationship between the Secret Service and Apple is.
You know, I wonder if the whole visit from the Secret Service and all that followed can actually be included as part of the art project. I mean, it sounds to me like that's part of the whole thing.
It really is. I mean, in a way, there was a point where, you know, after I wasn't really allowed to talk about it anymore, after my lawyers said, you know, Kyle, you really need to shut up. At that point, like, I didn't really have any input on the piece anymore. It wasn't even about the photos so much. It was more about this kind of perceived privacy issue that people were talking about. And it became kind of a collaboration with Apple and with the Secret Service. And it became more of about the discussion than even any of the photos, because the photos were taken offline. You know, people couldn't look at them anymore. But the discussion was still there, and the discussion kept evolving. So it was kind of a, you know, interactive, performative piece that involved everyone who was commenting on it.
What, did you ever get your computer back from the Secret Service?
I did. About 3 months later, like I said, the U.S. Attorney General's office told them to drop it, and the Secret Service kind of obliged and got my computers back.
But in the meantime, in the interim, you bought another Apple computer.
I did, actually. I think it was the day after.
I mean, somebody could view this from Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs' perspective, and say, look, this is a company that's willing to go as far as they need to protect the privacy of their customers.
But if you look at their reputation, it's not really clear that's the case. I mean, last year there was the iPhone tracking scandal where it was shown that iPhones were recording GPS data and storing it on your computer without you knowing it. It's been also shown, or it was shown around the same time, that if you disabled the GPS on your iPhone, it was still technically enabled in the background and sending data back to Apple. They're using this for probably pretty mundane things like trying to figure out where all of the routers are in the world physically so that they can, you know, find your physical location on Earth more accurately. But there's still some ambiguity about how really genuinely concerned they are with people's privacy and how kind of publicly concerned they are, you know, if it's just a more of a publicity thing.
Do you own an iPhone?
I do now.
So you don't seem all that ambiguous about your view on privacy. You don't seem concerned about it personally.
Personally, I mean, I did a project in 2009 called KeyTweeter, where I tweeted every single keystroke I typed for a year. So personal emails, my master's thesis is in there, you know, discussions with my girlfriend on Skype, everything was in there. And it taught me a lot about like what the difference between privacy and publicity is and, you know, where my rights end and where someone else's rights begin. It taught me like about the difference between a password and like, you know, some personal information that can't be used against me. And but ever since that project, I've been really open with my communication with other people. I don't hold things back. If I'm going to say something behind someone's back, I'm also going to say it to their face. And I also just have this assumption that I'm being watched and tracked and taken photographs of all the time. And in some ways, it's probably true. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but if you look around, you'll notice, like, there's a lot of security cameras. There's a lot of people watching each other. Every time that you open up one of these devices, like a cell phone, you'll find more and more tracking things that you're not really being told about. And so I think it's good to maintain this kind of critical stance towards your own privacy and maybe start by assuming that things are much worse than you think they might be.
Kyle MacDonald, multimedia artist, adjunct professor at NYU's Interactive Telecommunications Program, advises you that you can't beat them, and so you'd better join them. Thanks so much, Kyle.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.